So, last week we spoke about 1 John. We kind of touched first and second chapters. We discussed how 1 John was basically black and white with no gray, shades of gray, right? So it was either or, it wasn't a lukewarm thing. We talked about how the people there in Ephesus were part of a great city. They were part of a growing city that was very metropolitan. So they had a lot of culture, they had a lot of money, they had a lot of ships, they had a lot of everything, including gods. We talked about how there was about 50 gods that lived in that little town there. So that's pretty impressive in itself. They had temples, they had all these things going, but they also had churches, Christian churches that were growing also. We talked about how spiritually, how it was so divided, and some of those that cultural spiritual stuff from the other gods were starting to creep in into the church and taking some and changing some of that message. How their messages of the false prophets or the deceivers, as John calls them, were trying to not only change the story of Christ and belittle him, saying that he really didn't exist. Their special knowledge was so much more than what Christ offered, that they started taking people away also. They started deceiving them. They started misinforming them. They started causing division and doubt, and people were starting to struggle of distinguishing what was fact from fiction. Right? So kind of remind us of today and where we at and what we're doing. And again, it's just important for us to be able to follow and learn from the Word of God, not just trusting whoever's up here, not just taking their word for it, but how are you able to study with the person talking? Right? So if you were here last week, you already know that I'm not going to give you any verses, maybe one or two. But I will give you the address, and you guys have to take out your phones, your tablets, your Bibles, whatever you use, and you're going to follow that way, okay? Because that way, you can let your fingers do the walking. That used to be a commercial. I forget who it was. Anyways, so I digress. What was it? Yeah, something. Okay, anyways. So we continue with 1 John. 1 John, as we talked about last week, was a message of listen up. Right? It was a message of trying to get the people back together, going, you know what, everything that you're listening to, everything that you're hearing from these false prophets is wrong. They're deceiving you. And he was calling out to them saying, come back and come back to the truth. Come back to the Christian foundation of Jesus Christ, of who he is and what he did and how he taught. Because people were starting to lose that. And it was kind of like a war cry for the church to say, come back to the truth. Listen up. It's over and over. Now, we say he was about 90 years old when John wrote these letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So if you read the book, if you read the letters, you'll find that John is kind of skipping around everywhere. Right? He goes from light to darkness to love to false prophets to love again. Then he goes back. And it's like talking to my mom sometimes and going, Mom, we already talked about that. And then she comes over again and talks about the same thing. And it's like, all right, okay. But that's how it was. That's how it was with Paul. Paul was kind of just going everywhere because he had this passion for the church and he had words to use. And he wanted to make sure that he was conveying what he saw. You know, he talked about how he was there. He talked about how he was present. All right. So we go with that. I know he probably stepped on a lot of toes, right? Who in here likes to step on toes? We don't, right? Yeah, oh, yeah. All right, I got one. Sometimes I do if it's my kids. But normally, if it's anybody else, I don't want to step on any toes. Nobody wants to do that. We don't want to be the bad people. We don't want to make people feel bad. And you know, it's like, all right, you're sinning. Okay, well, you do you, and I'll do me, kind of like we were, learned last week. But John, again, loved the church. That he was willing to step on toes. He was willing to step out and call the wrong and have them come back to the love of Christ. So stretch out your hands, your fingers, all right, if you need to loosen up. It's hot in here. Holy Spirit, we already said he's present. So let's do this. 1 John, we're going to talk about. So the first 2 points we talked about last week was light and darkness. And we also talked about the difference between subjective and objective truth. right? Of what is lying, what's true, what we think and what we allow, or what the perception that we allow to be truth in our lives, and really it's not the truth. So if you guys want to catch on by that, it's online. Great message. Yeah, it was definitely a must-share watch. Okay, so we're going to continue. Point three, sin and righteousness. Woohoo! That's always a good one to start off with on a Sunday morning, right? Especially when it's hot. Okay, so 1 John 3:4-6. I hear the pages turning. And again, if you have my Bible, it's 1001. Are you there? Okay. So 1 John 3:4-6 says, everyone who sins is breaking God's law. For all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understands who he is. So right off the bat, John's like, all right, you guys, this is it. You guys are sinning. He's calling them out right here. He's saying, you're sinning. You're breaking the law. Like he said, he was stepping on some toes. And I think he goes back because he was watching what was going on. He was seeing what was being preached. He was he heard some of the things that these false prophets were saying about how the body could do whatever it wants, but yet as long as the spirit is good, then they're good to go, right? But if in Isaiah, I'm not sure if I put it up here, Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 through 21, it says, what sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think of themselves as clever. Wow. Isn't that crazy? Now, stop for a minute and think about what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Is this scriptures? Are you hearing the scripture being lived out right now? Whatever is right is wrong. Yeah. Whatever is wrong, woohoo, let's do that. And that was going the same thing here. It says in the word, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, we're living in this age where we're going, oh, this is crazy. This is unprecedented. Oh, this can't be happening. But guess what? It's been happening for centuries. It's been happening since the very beginning. And history just keeps repeating and repeating and repeating itself. Are we ever going to listen? Are we ever going to learn? Well, if you follow the Israelites' life, probably not. So that's not a good point. Anyways, okay, so we continue. So it was like opposite day for these people. It was opposite. I remember when my kids were growing up, we used to play opposite days. Daddy, can you not take me to the park? No. Let's not go tonight right now. Right? We kind of sounded like Yoda or something. But anyways, but that's what it was, is that they were creating their own world, their own desires, so that way they could live the way they wanted to, that they could live outside of these rules, but yet they were making their own rules. They were making things that benefited them, where they could be the masterminds of their own lives. It's crazy that we get to see this nowadays. So what is sin? What is sin? In verse 4 says, everyone who sins breaks God's law. So what's God's law? We can find in Leviticus 19, Deuteronomy chapters 5 through 8. So that's your homework for today. Right? Read those, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Talk to them with your spouse. Talk to them to your kids. Because that is where our society's going wrong. Is that these commandments, these words that we're giving at the beginning of time, were words from God telling us, this is how I want you to live. This is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to glorify God. The Ten Commandments were everything about Him, how we could worship Him, how we could elevate Him, how it takes us to Him. The other one in Deuteronomy 5 through 8 talks about our values, our morals, how we should live, how we should treat each other, how we should talk to each other. Totally different than what it is today. There's so much hate. There's so much strife. There's so much anger. There's so much attacking. Why? Because these things aren't being lived out. It's not in us. It's not in our heart. Am I stepping on some toes today? I hope so, because I stepped on my toes this week because I was like, oh man, this is really hitting home. That's how I know that the Holy Spirit's in here. It's getting hot in here under the collar, right? And we don't like that. But yet, John's saying, come back to me. Listen up. Be careful. Don't be part of the world. As it says in chapter 3, I believe it is in 1 John. He's talking about the world. Don't be part of that world. But be better than that. Live by the standards I've given you. If we would live by those standards today, our whole world would be totally different. Think about that. So John already stated from last week in John 1:8 that if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. He's already said that. He's not saying that once you become a Christian, once you give your life over to the Lord, that you're going to stop sinning. He's not saying that you're going to walk in righteousness. He's not saying that you're going to be perfect. There's only one person who was perfect. And who was that? Jesus. John's already saying it's not going to happen. So if we go to 1 John 2, verses 1 through 2, it says, my dear children, remember, he's 90. So he starts off by my children, my friends. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is a sacrifice that atones for our sins. And not only our sins, but the sins of the world. How amazing is that, right? So John is distinguishing two groups right here. The first group are those who say, you know what? I check my heart, I check myself, and I sinned. I'm not a righteous man. I screwed up. They take ownership of that. Do we have ownership a lot going on nowadays? No, we cast blame, don't we? Well, these people here, they were taking ownership. They're saying, I sinned. I came short to the glory of God. I broke the law. So what do? They accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they allowed God to start renewing their minds, like it says in Romans. They start allowing God to transform them. They start allowing God to give them a new way, a new life, a new thinking, so that way they can start living that righteous life that we're supposed to live. Not perfect life, righteous life. And we'll get that in a minute. See, everybody struggles with that. Even that one other guy that started the church, Paul, thank you. Paul, in Romans 7, he's talking about how he's battling with this. Why do I do the things that I do? I know what I shouldn't be doing, but the things that I'm not supposed to be doing, I do. But what was good, I don't do. You know, he has this conflict within us. And it's the same thing that happens to us. It's the same thing that we go through. The struggles are real, my friends. It's all around us because it's a spiritual battle. It's a battle that from good and evil that's trying to get your soul, who's trying to attack and get you away from sitting here and receiving the living life of God, the words of God. You guys with me?
Yes.
All right. Remember, I like you guys to at least say something so that way I know you're not sleeping because I know it's hot. So you know what I'm saying in here? All right. So 1 John 3, 6 through 8. All right. Are you guys there? All right. 1 John 3, 6 through 8 says, anyone who continues to live in him will not sin, but anyone who keeps on sinning, does not know him or understand who he is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, Says it again, right? It shows that they belong to the devil. No one has been sinning the devil. Who has been sinning since the beginning? But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen, right? So right there, John is saying, right off the bat, of those who continue to sin, who practice sinning, he says in verse 9. Again, he says, he stresses, keeps on sinning. So what is this? These are people that are going back to their, maybe their old lifestyle. They want to follow God, but they're lukewarm. Maybe they're new Christians. Maybe they're mature Christians. But it's that sin that kind of calls them back, that they fall back on because they feel comfortable. They go to because they know it's something they can fall back on. Another way of saying this is habitual sin. Habitual sin is something that, again, you feel comfortable. Something that you don't want to let go. You're holding on to. It's like, yes, Jesus, I love you so much. But instead of having your hands open as a surrender, we have our hands closed because I don't want to let this thing go. What is that thing? I don't know. That habitual sin is something between you and God. What's keeping you from God? Habitual sin, what does that look like? As an example, if you want to call it a small sin. Habitual liars, right? Have you ever met one? These are people who talk to you, they look at you straight in the eye, and all they say is lies. You catch them in lies, but they continue. They twist things, and they continue lying, and you're sitting there, and you're knowing they're lying, but you don't want to interrupt them and be the mean guy and step on their toes, so you kind of take it in because you don't want to rock the boat. Yeah? And we don't say anything. But the thing is, it's so habitual that when they're talking, they don't even realize that they're lying. They don't even realize some of the lies that they say because they think it's true in their head. That's a habitual sin. And that's the part where we need to be careful where we're living at. It's presenting our minds to Christ, allowing Him to renew us, allowing Him to cleanse us. This is good. Amen, Rich. It is good. All right. So, reflection time. What's your habitual sin? What's keeping you from following the Lord? In Jeremiah 17:9, I don't think it's up there, Jeremiah 17:9, it says, how wicked is the mind that nobody knows it? How wicked is the mind that nobody knows it? All right, how many of you guys know our mind does some crazy stuff to us? We allow these thoughts, we allow our self-talk to take hold, to bring us down. That's a habitual sin. Maybe it's a physical sin. You're acting out on something. And that could be a whole variety of stuff. How about a spiritual sin? In 1 John 5:17, it talks about a sin that leads to death. Doesn't all sin lead to death? No. When we have Christ in our hearts, when we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, He has washed us with the blood of the Lamb. He's made us clean. And He's a God that forgives us. He's a God that sees past some of our sins and goes, no, come back. Come back to me. We'll make it right again. But it only takes a repentant heart. A surrendering heart that cleanses from that repeating sin. But the one that leads for death is the one that rejects Christ. The one that says He's not real. The one that says He just seemed to be a God. He was just a person, as we learned last week, with Gnosticism, a Gnostic way of thinking. It was all knowledge. Or how or how they taught about the Spirit of God coming in Jesus before or after he was born and before he died. That's not right. That's not right. But yeah, that's what they taught. So that's a habitual sin, is turning your back from God. Again, in 1 John 3:7, it says, "Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you." Just talked about that, right? When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. How awesome is that? You know, that statement there is more about the presence of righteousness in a person's life than really it is about the sin or the absence of sin in a person. It's not about them being perfect. It's about them living according to the law, living according to those values, living according to those morals, living in a reflection of Christ. That's what we always talk about, right? How am I reflecting Christ? What are they seeing when I go out to my community, when I go to work, when I go to school, when I come here to church? What are people seeing? Are you making a difference? Are people catching on to the fire that's inside of you? That's righteousness. Goes on in Galatians 5, talking about the fruit of the Spirit, right? How are we living in that? What are people seeing? There's a saying that there's some people that won't read a Bible. You'll be the closest thing that they'll read to it, right? Is that your actions will speak louder than words. You could say you're a Christian, but if you're doing things that are not Christian-like, they're going to call you out. Isn't it funny that those who aren't Christians are the ones that probably know the Bible and how we should act better than us? I don't know, I'm just saying it. It's funny. Because we try to look past it. We get comfortable with our walk. We get comfortable with how we do things. But yet those who are not in Christ, they're watching. Who's the hypocrite? And that's why you see so much hurt. That's why you see so much distrust. That's why you see so much bitterness. And you fill in the blank after that. But righteous living is living according to the will of God. Amen? All right, getting louder. Sounds good. Okay. So, we move on. Fourth point, hate and love. This is always a fun one. I hate talking about this. No, it's okay. All right. So, 1 John 3:11 through 12 should be right underneath what we just read, so it shouldn't take you very long. So it says, "This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what is righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you." Ouch. Okay, so why go there, John? Why do you have to go back there, right? So the Greek word for hate is miso. Can you guys say miso? Sounds French, but it's Greek. All right? Which means loathe, detest, hatred, and abominate. Those are some strong words right there. Right? So where does love and hate come from? Where do they originate? In this passage, John gives us a little bit of an insight with the answers, but it sounds like it doesn't originate from us. You know, we tend to think that, you know, God blessed us, God saved us, and now we get to live out what love is, what faith is. We get to figure out and determine what these things are, these attributes, how they're going to work out. But really, here, John is saying, no, that's not true. We're not the authors of what's good and bad. God is. In verse 4:7, it says, "We must love one another, for love comes from God." So it doesn't come from us, does it? The love comes from the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Love comes from understanding who God is. Because God is what? love. Is rich love very impure love? Sometimes I don't give it to everybody. Christ gives it to everybody. He is the manifestation of what that pure love looks like. So if that is true, where does hate come from? How is it produced? Well, again, it tells us right there in 1 John 3:12, it says that can belong to the evil one. So he belonged to somebody. He was already allowing the enemy to speak into his heart. It wasn't like him and Abel were kicking back and he just all of a sudden said, I'm going to kill him. No, it was something that was already happening inside of his heart. In 1 John 4:8, it says, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. This is good. This is good. Teacher and theologian Ray Steadman said it this way. Therefore, it's very important that we understand that love and hate both originate outside of man. Love comes only from God, and hate comes from the devil. Hate is really love twisted, diverted from its intended object, and centered upon a false object. We talked about that a little bit last week, right? Of how he twists the truth. This is what the devil does with the life and the love of God. He diverts it, twists it, mutilates it, changes it, and it comes out as hate. Therefore, anyone who hates, as Cain did, is in the grip of the devil. He is the evil one. So if that doesn't stop you in your tracks, just imagine next time you say, I hate that person. I hate what they did. What's happening there? You're allowing the enemy to have a foothold in your soul, right? You're allowing the enemy to start talking to you. Yeah. What did they do? They wronged you. They shouldn't be doing that. That's lies. Again, what times are we living in nowadays? It doesn't matter what side you are. We listen to the news. We read our media, our social media. We listen to other people inside the church and outside the church. And all it is hate, hate, hate. Why? Because they're allowing the evil one, if they're not careful. I'm not judging. I'm not saying anything about anybody because I don't know where they're at. But according to this, they're allowing hate to be, again, a starting point for even something worse. Why do we have so much violence? Why do we have so much people rising up? Why do we have people doing things as we drive to each other? Because they're allowing the enemy to take hold. Man, this is a good message. Very uplifting, isn't it? Woo! I like it. You know, I did this not intending to step on any toes, but man. Anyways, so we go on, right? So we go on. So why did Cain murder his brother, Abel? Was it because Abel was picking on him? Was it because Abel was saying mean things to him and hurting his feelings? Was it because Abel might have been the parents' favorite? No, it goes on to say it's because he was righteous. He was doing what was right. He gave his offering to God with a good conscience, with a good spirit, with a good attitude. He came before the Father and just surrendered himself. That's why Cain killed his brother. Because he was good. Because he was righteous. Isn't that crazy? Usually, when we want to kill somebody, it's because they wronged us. But in this case, Cain was already overtaken. His mind was already on another, whatever you want to call it. I totally forgot my word. It's not even my notes. right? So anyways, on another track, right? Because he was listening to the wrong voice. He wasn't listening to that small, still voice. He was listening to everything else around him. How many of us know that when we allow our self-talk to go, it's hard to distinguish who's God and who's not? It's hard to understand, Lord, is that from you or is that my own thinking? Is that my own ideas? Is that from the outside of what the world's trying to put into me? That's why we need to be in the Word. And that's why John was saying, listen up. Listen up. Get back to this. This is where we should be. This is where we should study. This is good and righteous. So if you want to read the rest of the story, that's in Genesis 4. Good story, maybe to even kind of refresh in your mind of what it is. But the subject of love was huge for John in his first book and now in his letters. In just this letter, 1 John, 5 chapters, love is mentioned over 50 times. He keeps going back at it. Love, love, love. Why do you think he went back to that word so much, that word of love so much? As I started thinking about it, I was going, because he walked with Jesus. He was discipled by him. He heard his messages. He saw the miracles. He saw how he interacted. He saw how he spoke to people. He saw how he cared for people. He saw how he provided for them, for their every need. And John's following him, just like a good disciple, behind him in his footsteps, and he's watching all this. And he got to see an undisturbed, pure love that captivated him. Man, that's good. He got to see the true love of God in the flesh. That's why I think that he was talking so much about love. He couldn't let it go. He couldn't just say, oh, yeah, that was the past. 60 years later, into his 90s, and he's still talking about love. Because that's the greatest thing that we can catch on of who God is, that person of who he is. In Matthew, if you want to turn to me really quick, on Matthew 22:34-40. I'm going to put my little thing there so I can go back to it. So Matthew 22:34-40. So they talk in, oh, actually, so keep your finger there. I jumped ahead. So I got a little bit ahead of myself. So keep your finger there, Matthew. Let's go back to 1 John 4, 7 through 16. I apologize for that. John 4, 7 through 16. And it says, dear friends, there it is again. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us so much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us a spirit of proof that we live in him and he lives in us. Furthermore, we have seen him with our own eyes, and now we testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God has God in him, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. Isn't that awesome? So again, John is saying here, we saw this. We talked about it last week. The we was the disciples and some of his followers later on. That He explained to them, I saw this firsthand. He's conveying to them that whoever believes in God has this pure love, that through him we'll be able to love others as Christ loved. It's not a man-made, love. It's not what I think it is. Because if it was up to me, love would not look very good. But he's saying, this is what love is. And this is how we should love each other. But he goes on to say, is that Jesus died for us on the cross, right? He died to take away our sins. He tried to make us new. He died to make us new again. And once he did that, once we accept him as our Lord and Savior, he deposits true love inside of us. Rich, you already said this. I know, I'm going off of what John said. He goes in circles, okay? He goes back to love over and over again. He just can't get enough of it. I say, this is how we should be. Church, listen up. This is how we should act. This is where we should go. And even in Matthew, so we go back to there, Matthew 22, 34 through 40, is where Jesus was confronted. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert of the religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. He could have stopped right there because they would have known that. They would have known that. But he continues, this is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. See, again, Jesus right there tells you what the greatest thing is. To honor God with what? With all your mind, soul. But the other one is to honor each other. The other one is to respect each other. The other one is to encourage each other, to pray for each other, to lift each other up. Do we do that? I hope so. At least we try, right? I try. I fall short. I repent. But John's saying, just keep going. And live according to how Jesus taught us to live. Because if we love out of our own effort, it's going to come shy to how God really wants us to live. Our best is not good enough. Woo. Can you guys feel the Holy Spirit working? I do. Amen. All right. So, 1 John 5. I told you we're going to do a lot of reading and let your fingers do the walking. So, I'm just the messenger. If you have any issues, take it up with John. So, in verse 5, it says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, he has become a child of God. And anyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats the evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Isn't that awesome? Is that we don't have to do anything. We don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to live out our faith or work for our faith. And that's not what John's saying when he's saying that we need to love each other and that we need to do these things. But he's telling us to act out the love of Christ, the salvation of Christ, is by faith. It's a gift. It's not what you do. It's not what you say. It's not how you act. It's just a surrender of God living through you. Let me say about this one really quick, but all right, it's not okay. So maybe I won't use it because I can't remember where it's at. Oh, it's probably because I was on the wrong phone. I wanted to go to John and I went to Acts. No wonder it didn't make sense. Oh, this is it. All right. Okay. That makes me kind of silly up here. Anyways, so I digress. So this is what John says, right? Is that accepting God as a Lord and Savior, that's how we get to heaven. That's how we know that we're a child of God. That's how we know that we're a part of Him. And again, these deceivers will come in and say, that's not true. That's not objective. That's fake. But then John quotes himself in John 14:9. It says, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am. Anyone who sees me has seen the Father. So why you ask me to show you? Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me. Does this work through me, that lives through me, does his work through me? Just believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work that you have seen. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, even greater because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask me for anything in my name and I will do it so the Son can be glorified to the Father. Just ask me anything and I will do it. See, when we live in Christ, we have that open invitation. We're able to come to the Father, to the cross, and ask anything because He came for us. And it says again, and right above that, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through me to the Father except through me. That's pretty concrete. That's pretty concrete. He didn't say one of the ways. He didn't say another way. He didn't say, well, if this doesn't work for you, see, there's only one way, and that's through me. So, reflection time. Where do you stand with your love for others? Where's your heart? Where's your mind? Who do you need to forgive? Who's that person that you're going, oh, man, I love everybody but that one person gets under my skin? That one person, I just can't seem to connect. Where's the love of Christ? Maybe we need to repent. Maybe we need to ask for forgiveness for that. So as we close, we'll close with 1 John 5:20 through 21. And this is the last verse, is, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. So we can know the true God. And that's through His word, right? And now we live in fellowship with Him, with the true God, because we live in fellowship with His Son, Jesus. He is the only true God, and He is eternal life. And then He ends it this way. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. Keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. So I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what issues you have, because we all have issues, right? But I want to ask our prayer team to come up again. Is what's that habitual sin that is occurring that you haven't conquered, that you're maybe still holding on to, that is causing that separation from you and God? Where are you at with that forgiveness? The other one is, where are you at with your salvation? Are you lukewarm? Are you hot? Are you cold? Maybe you've been a follower for 90 years. Maybe you've been a follower for two, one, couple months. But is there something that maybe you have to rededicate? Maybe it's something you have to give back to the Lord. Amen? So, Lord Father, so as we pray, if you guys want to come up, altar's open. Lord Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this privilege to share this word. I know it's probably a heavy word, but it's a true word. I ask, Lord God, that you allow your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Allow us, for those who have ears to hear, to act upon the voice that they're feeling right now, of their hearts maybe being moved. May they not be shameful because they have to come up front. There's nothing supernatural about coming up here. It's only an act of obedience. It's only an act of surrender. It's only an act of being in the fellowship of God and other believers coming around you to lift us up, to pray for us, to intervene. So, Lord Jesus, I ask that you would allow us to move, allow us to experience your love, allow us to sense that love, and that when we walk out of here today, that we could be different because of what you did, because of how you touched us. Hallelujah, Lord God.